on Racing Pulse, the Victorian Form Preview.
With Warren Huntley at 4:05 past 10. We are racing at Mornington today on a soft five. Good morning, Warren.
Morning, Matty.
How are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Although at this stage I'm battling some of that Melbourne traffic that we've been hearing about throughout the morning. I've got to head into the racing.com studios to just do a little bit of work at Docklands, and it's taken me an hour and a half at the moment to travel what would have normally taken me about half an hour.
Is this related to the Goldfingers burn down?
Yeah, I shouldn't have been there.
You shouldn't have stubbed that cigar in that rubbish bin.
No, I'm sure it is, because it's just absolute bottleneck around the fringes of the city.
Hey, before we get going, there's always an attrition rate, especially this far out from the spring, but losing Hitotsu is a bit of a blow, isn't it?
Yeah, real X-factor horse, wasn't he? I mean, I think, Connections already said he's better with his races spaced, so the challenge of perhaps targeting a Cox Plate and backing up into the Melbourne Cup would have been something that would have needed a bit of Kieran Maher and Dave Eustace magic, but he just looked to be something out of the box, and would have been lovely to see him target the spring in whatever races they target him at. So unfortunate that we're unlikely to see that, but hopefully all's well with him for the future.
No, absolutely. Graeme Begg's going to join us in a mo to take us through his runners, but in the meantime, let's have a... Oh, he's there. Okay. Hey, Graeme, how are you?
Good morning.
You haven't got Hitotsu to worry about in the spring. I guess it's a shame, isn't it? But it opens things up a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, like he was going to be a big stumbling block in the spring for anyone that had an aspiring horse to run in those sort of races. But, it's always the good ones that fall by the wayside. I guess they just put a little bit more into it than what the slow ones do. And they always bring pressure to themselves. And, that's what happens.
Hey, let's have a little squiz at your two runners today. You've got a debutante called Devil's Fiddle going around in race two.
Yeah, she's nice filly. Showing us a little bit at the jump outs. Obviously, she's just going to lack probably the seasoning of having a race under her belt. But she's showing us nice things at home. Drawn very well to get a good run. The favourite looks like it's going to be hard to beat from an inside draw. So hopefully we'll be able to tag that and see how we end up.
She's by Holler. Is she a speedy Holler?
She's shown enough speed, but jump out speed and race speed are two different things. But she's been quite forward in everything we've asked her to do. She's done it well within herself. She's a half relation to a Group 1 winner in New Zealand, Volte Veloce. It's been a very good family over the years. So let's hope that she can keep up to the family tradition.
So it sounds like there's a reasonably high, for punters who are thinking early quad and so on, it sounds like there's a reasonably high expectation there?
Yeah, we think she'll run well.
Okay. Jolly Christine goes around in race four and well in the market.
Yeah, she's been racing well of late. So when this race came up with the conditions on the day, we thought this was a good race to sort of try to target. She is a filly. She's also a half sister to a Group 1 winner. That horse that raced in Hong Kong, Skyfield, a good sprinter. He won the invitation race, international race last December. She's a half sister, so it's very vital that we can get a win on the board with her. We found this race, and at the conditions on the day with this race, it's horses which have had the most runs were exempt from ballot. So therefore, there seems to be a bit of a tail to the race. And fortunate enough, she was able to get into it with not having a lot of runs.
All right, so it looks like you're reasonably confident or quite confident with both runners. Just before we do let you go, Nonconformist is obviously the horse that I was referring to with the absence of Hitotsu. Is Nonconformist heading towards the Cox Plate?
More likely Caulfield Cup, I'd say. That he's back in work now and just starting to go through his paces gradually. And, he'll be back on deck soon enough.
Good on you, Graeme. Good luck at Mornington today.
Thank you.
Warren, we'll get to it in time, but are you a little bit curious about this debutante, Devil's Fiddle, in race two?
In the numbers, for sure, Matty. Yeah, I like the way she worked through the line in a recent jump out.
All right, well, let's go to the first. There are no scratchings. This is a 2,000-metre maiden. We have a short-priced favourite, trained by you-know-who and you-know-who, Mar Eustace, Ben Allen to ride, Bay of Kiel, number 8 at $1.80 on the fixed odds. Out to Suma for Robbie Lang at who's been having a few cracks at breaking the maiden at $4.80. $7, Batuta Prince, number one. Number five, Road to Blue Sky at $8.50, and then double figures the rest. Amar Eustace going to burst the blocks here at Mornington today?
I think they are, Maddie. I think she's coming through some maidens in New South Wales on more rain-affected ground, but holding her own there. And firstly, doing the form, I thought, gee, she's the best bred runner on the program, being by Redoute's Choice out of Faint Perfume. And then I realised she's got a full brother on the same program. So I think it's the best pedigree, but it appears twice on the program with Heroic Fighter going around later for Amy and Ash. I like her. With the tongue tie going on, I think she's on the up, and I think she can win. 8 ahead of 5, Road to Blue Sky, who's mixing flat and jumps racing, but you could say that his most recent flat run, he was unlucky there. Maybe the gap was going as quick as his, but there's no stars here. Revering for the David and Coral Feek stable, she's another one with less convictions than most. I thought her most recent performance, or his debut performance, was solid, and I think the rising distance will suit 6 to Suma. Has been trying to win the maiden, as you said, for Robbie Lang, going okay. I've got him as next best. I'm keen on 8, ahead of 5, 4 and 6.
8, 5, 4 and 6. Gee, it looks like an all-up sort of day, especially early in the day. The second race is a 1,000-metre maiden, and the scratchings here are numbers 2, 4 and 6, and we're even shorter here. Inundation for Mick Price and Michael Kent, number 3, $1.30. Devil's Fiddle, it's interesting, isn't it, when a well-tipped first starter, but you've got $1.30 pop as favourite. So we'll see how this market plays out. 8, Devil's Fiddle at $6. $8.50, Kaleidoscope Eyes, number 9, and then $12 a rest. It is tricky with a shorty when there's a bit of mail about a debutante.
Yeah, look, Inundations looked a real star at the jump outs, and that was the case going into the debut performance. It was $1.35 on debut and got beaten by Kitten Caboodle, so there's a precedent there to get rolled at a short quote, but I think spelled after that run and recent jump outs just look like a horse who'll get on speed, roll along, and, you know, with the ability of the Kent and Price Junior stable to get horses fit to go to the races first up, I think he'll win. Inundation, 8, Devil's Fiddle, I think, is the main danger. I thought she's trialled up nicely, as Graham Beggs outlined. 9, Kaleidoscope Eyes, I think I'll appreciate getting back onto firmer ground than what we saw first up, and maybe 7, DeLong Star next best, but the race does fall away, and it's definitely in the top couple and deserved favourite Inundation, but I do think there's definite wins coming for Devil's Fiddle and Kaleidoscope Eyes. 3, 8, 9, 7.
3, 8, 9, 7 race two. The trend continues. One of these will get rolled. This is the third race, a maiden over 1,200 metres. The scratchings here are numbers 3, 7, 9, 11. $1.65 for Endlessly, which has the form of 2-2-2-2. Jai McNeil, obviously reasonably confident when we spoke to him today. La Perfection, number 6 at $5. $6, number 12, Step Forward. $8, Makuma, number 8. And then out to $12 the rest. Here we go again, Warren.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'd be anchoring in the early quaddie Endlessly. The form's consistent, as you've outlined, and her recent jump out was okay. And look, she's going to break her maiden sometime soon. Thought La Perfection might be looking for perhaps a fraction further, but she trialled well going into that first up run and ran well. So I think she's a legitimate danger. I think she'll be very strong late, La Perfection. 8, Makuma was given a solid hit out in a recent jump out for the Mount Allerton stable, and Philosophile came through that jump out to run well at Flemington in stronger company on Saturday, and maybe 5, Kaluna next best. Again, the race does fall away, but the first up run was much better than what we saw in the first race in preparation. 2, 6, 8, 5.
2, 6, 8, 5 in the third, and now we go to the fourth. Let me have a look here. Oh, here we go again. Number 9, let's have a look at the scratchings first. They are numbers 3 and 7. Another odds onny here, $1.90, Hollywood Siren for You Know Who and You Know Who. $1.90, number 9. Number 10, $2.30, Jolie Christine. So it's pretty tight, actually. Got $1.90, the favourite, $2.30, second favourite. Even the third favourite at $5 is right there as well in teammate number 5. And then we get out to $34. Fascinating market here, Warren, at the top end.
Yeah, and I thought Hollywood Siren, who trialled up nicely going into that first up run and wasn't the place to be trying to make down ground down the middle of the track at that stage of the program during the Warrnambool May Carnival. I thought under the circumstances she ran well. So I think she's the one to beat, but Jolly Christine's going well. She's got that, you know, real body of race fitness behind her rather than just the first up run. And Five Teammates been going really well for this preparation, been finding the line strongly. Gap to number 12, Vitorina, who's had a trial between runs, Matty, and I thought trialled up a lot better than what we've seen on race day. 9, 10, 5 and 12.
9, 10, 5 and 12. Now, what do we... Let's treat this as the halfway mark because we've got a series of odds onies. Is there any play for the first half of the day? You're not game enough to go multi all four, are you?
No, but I'm going to play an early quaddy as the play of the day, and yeah, we're going to just take no more than a couple of horses in each leg, try and get the early quaddy for $8.
All right. Well, we'll sum that all up a little bit later. It's 16 minutes past 10. That's the first half of the program at Mornington with a suite of odds onies. Let's hope that markets open up for the second half. Let's take a break and come back and find out.
On RSN 927's Racing Pulse, the Victorian Form Preview.
18 minutes past 10, we're four down with four to go at Mornington. Just a reminder that Michael Felgate will be back in the chair tomorrow and Gareth Hall will be in this very chair in about 12 minutes' time to take you through RSN Central. Okay, I'm with Warren Huntley. Let's have a look at the quaddy, the late quaddy, the serious quaddy, and the first leg is race 5. This is a benchmark 58 over 1,500 metres. The scratching is number 3, and we've finally got a black and white favourite here in Coralie, number 2, at $2.25. Number 5, Hit the Moon, is at $5, $5.50. Number 7, Without Excuse, $6. Dismatic, and then out to $10, Astro Bow, and the rest. Looks like, from the starting point, Warren, we might have a little bit more value in the later quaddie today.
Yeah, value is very relative today, Matty, I think. It's I suppose if something you think's over the odds, then it is value, but there's not a lot going around at big odds. Coralie was terrific first up, hitting the line strongly at Werribee, some of the better late sectionals of the day there first up. She'll be fitter with that run under the belt. 1,400 to 1,500 metres looks a nice progression. So I think she's the one to beat. This Matic was well-backed and won very well for Scotty Cameron last start. Had a little gap between runs going into that, but seemed to run well on the fresh side. Maps to get a good run. 9, Aristobo. Best form early in the career would be right in the mix here. I think Rod Grantley's got him going pretty well. Paint Me Red was able to win that race, getting out from behind the lead at Mornington last start. Dixie Bilt's come through that race to win at Stawell last week, so the form through that race is holding up quite well. And interesting that Luke Oliver's backed up Hit the Moon from Wangaratta last Sunday. So a very quick backup there behind an informed galloper in Waylade with the claim for Hannah LeBlanc just creates a bit of interest for me on the really quick backup. 2495.
2495 in race 5, over to race 6, and it starts again, the odds-on thing, with For Real Life, the favourite at $1.90. Just the scratchings here in numbers 1, 3 and 5. For Real Life, number 9 for Leon and Troy Corson's and Matty Cartwright. Resuming at $1.90. Red Snap, number 2 for Brett Scott. Second up at $3.30. Number 7, Chips Are Down at $6.50. Number 8, Frostic at $7.50. Then double figure the rest. Can we get this one rolled, Warren?
Well, I talked about value being relative, Matty. I think Red Snap's value at $3.30 here. I thought the first up run was good. Maps to get a good run on speed, home track for Brett Scott, Celine Gaudrey. I thought Red Snap was the one to beat here. So for that reason, I think he's over the odds. For Real Life, she's been very consistent in the career to date. She looks to have trialled up quite nicely. Just I wonder whether, as she's getting older, whether she's going to be looking for that little bit further. Kicking off at 1,200 is a suitable trip to kick off. But she was asked for a bit of an effort and responded in a recent jump out. But I do think Red Snap's got the ability to perhaps settle in front and create a tactical advantage. Chips Are Down was a very talented galloper early in his career. Probably lost his way to some extent, but looks to be going well now. First run for the Warren and Crongold stable was encouraging, and Four Bones will be off the speed and strong late. Foot 2 was over the odds, ahead of 9, 7 and 4.
2, 9, 7, 4 in race 6. Race 7 is over 2,000 metres. It's a benchmark 70. It's a small field. There are no scratchings. Might be a little opportunity here as well, I suspect. 4, Michant is at $2.90. For Ma Eustace. Number 1, Hunboshi is a $3.50 second favourite. 2, Miss 500 is a $5 chance. She's a Karaka, $7. Number 6, number 3, Air Lady at $7.50 as well. And even the Ruffies are somewhere in the market as well. Is this a little potential red flag race, Warren? Do you need to go a little bit wide here to be sure?
Gee, I toyed with putting the F in here, Matty, but then I thought there was one I really didn't want to put in, and then I decided to get brave, which normally when I take that option, it's normally not the right option. So
Courage, not your thing?
No, I could mount a case for a lot of these, but trying to narrow it down. And Boshy doesn't win out of turn, but in this grade, she's going to be very strong late. The race she was in at Sale last start was a strong race. Splendiferous came through that race to win a stakes race in Adelaide at her next start. So there's some good form through that race, and she's a bit one-dimensional in that she'll be off speed, but she'll be strong late. Small field, she mightn't be standing them up too much of a start. Not badly treated after the claim here. One had a six. She's a cracker. I thought the most recent run stuck on well behind Aravine, who Carolyn Jennings snuck up to Sydney to win last Saturday. So the form through that race is all really holding up well. The rise in distance a positive. Four, Machante getting fitter. Rise in distance probably suits. I think it's just a touch under the odds. And seven, Saucy Deluxe on a quick backup from Stall last Thursday, racing a little bit out of the grade that she's eligible for, but she goes around the home track here quite well. She had no luck here at all a few starts ago. Arguably should have won that race and has won a race at Bairnsdale subsequently. So home track on the minimum weight, I thought might be a trifecta first four player. 1-6-4-7.
All right, 1-6-4-7 in race 7, and race 8 rounds us off, and it's a biggish field. The scratchings are numbers 9, 15 and 16. I'll take you through the market, and then we've got a little grab from Ash Yagi. He's on form. Number 2 is the $2.60 favourite. Baddis for Cindy Alderson. Number 1, $5.50. Sacred Cove for Michael Cyril Kent. Number 12 is at $6. Number 3, Puppeteer for Mar Eustace, $10. And the one that we're going to get a little snippet from Ash Yagi is number 6, Heroic Fighter. Let's have a listen to what Ash thought on the Brekkie Show this morning.
Well, I think Heroic Fighter, he's a really tricky horse to catch. On his day, he can get the job done, no problem. But he's let us down before. But I think just having that hurdle trial under his belt sort of brings the horse on. And he jumped over some hurdles yesterday, and that sort of keeps him going forward. So I'd probably be leaning towards him more than the other horse.
Tricky horse to catch. Can you catch him, Warren, Heroic Fighter?
Look, he could win, Matty. He's the 3 years older full brother to Bay of Keel, who goes around as a short price favourite in the first. So brother and sister potentially could top and tail the program here. But look, if he wins, I'll be losing. I thought he's on form, who doesn't have a great turn of foot, but he's a very one-pace style of horse, but a strong finishing horse from the Paddy Payne stable. Billy Egan aboard, and the combination of Payne and Egan is good. He knows the horse well. He seems to be progressive, and I think stepping up from that race at Sale last start, where Chase Coyhoy, who had some good form lines coming through a race at Pakenham going into that race, I think out to 2,000 suits two. At a 12, Sacred Cove for your mate Michael Sewell Kent, who's progressing okay this preparation, and I think the step up to 2,000 metres is also in her favour. She trialled up nicely going into this prep. Maybe she's just need a little bit of racing to get herself to full fitness. 11 Head Smarts, hard and fit, hit the line well last start, arguably in a weaker race at Geelong, but I thought was solid to the line there, and looks like at this stage of the career, the rising trip will suit. And 1 Baddis for the Cindy Alderson stable. I thought that run last start was solid. He's a horse who's relatively lightly raced, but looks to have upside, and the step up in distance looks a positive. 2, 12, 11 and 1.
2, 12, 11 and 1. So I think the play looks like small numbers, big unitage or something today, Warren, especially for quarties?
Yeah, I think it's potentially a minefield, Matty. So I think we've just got to try and pick our mark and get in and out and be on the right horses. I thought the best, and hopefully we can get a bit of a bank, but not at big odds in the first, with race 1, number 8, Bay of Keel. I've made her the best. Not big odds, but I think $3.30 is over the odds for race 6, number 2, Red Snap, with an odds-on favourite in the race, who I think is potentially vulnerable. Quaddy first leg, 2, 4, 5 and 9. Second leg, 2, 4, 7 and 9. Numbers 1, 4 and 6 in the third leg. Home with numbers 1, 2, 11 and 12. Reference the play of the day, trying to get the early quaddy for a minimal amount. First leg, numbers 5 and 8. Second leg, 3 only. Third leg, 2 and 6. Third leg, 9 and 10. So spending $8 trying to snare the early quaddy and get some return.
All right, we'll whack that up on our socials a little bit later on.